We're not talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, whoa. Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Friday. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. Well, the weather is kind of cool out there with that wind. It's 48 degrees, 42 is the wind chill. The winds are out of the northwest, 14 miles an hour, gusting up to 18. Humidity is right there at 34%. And it's just, I'll have your Long Ranger coming up later in the show. It looks like this weekend is going to be beautiful. So get ready. Some good stuff coming this weekend. Well, no calves last night out of the girls out here west of town. No calves down south at Willow. Nothing exciting going on in Jimmy's Ag world right at the moment, but it's coming. I can feel it. Dr. Mouse did come out yesterday and visit with me and look at the heifers, see how they were doing. She said they look good. She talked more about my bull than the heifer. So anyway, she likes my bull. We got a bull out there that is, what is it? It's a loaded up broker. Anyway, we call him Charlie. He's a big boy, but he's a good boy. So anyway, well, wheat prices are regaining their value they've lost over the last few days. Anyway, hard red winter wheat is $7.70. Corn $6.35, Milo $6.33, soybeans at $14.11 a bushel, and cotton's at $1.21. Soybean futures were higher in overnight trading as the price of palm oil, a competing cooking oil, continued to rise. Palm oil prices continue to rise after Indonesia, the world's largest producer and exporter, said earlier this week that domestic producers must sell 20% of what they plan to ship overseas. The intention of the new order is to ensure domestic supply. Exports from the country will fall 3% this year to 33.2 million metric tons. The Indonesia Palm Oil Association said in a report, the forecast doesn't include the 20% producers will be forced to sell to domestic buyers. Palm oil, which competes with soybean oil, is up about 60% this year. South American weather is being watched as some rainfall is expected in parts of Brazil and Argentina. In Brazil, the world's biggest exporter of soybeans, showers fell this week over parts of their states and parts of Paraguay. Another 3 to 7 inches of precipitation is expected in the west and south central Brazil. Man, we need some of that, which may slow field work in the next 5 days. In Argentina, short-term stress is limited to 10% of the country, while rains are expected in about half the country's corn and soybean producing regions in the next 6 to 10 days. Soybean futures for March delivery rose 12.75 cents to $14.61 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal was up $4.40 to $409.10 a short ton. And soybean oil futures jumped 0.83 cents to 65.17 cents a pound. Corn futures for March delivery gained 3.75 to $6.29 a bushel. Wheat for March delivery added 5 cents to $7.82 a bushel, while Kansas City futures rose 6.25 to $7.99 a bushel. Well, weekly export sales of grains and beans all jumped in the 7 days and ended on January 20th, according to the USDA. Wheat sales jumped 78% week to week to 676,700 metric tons, the highest since the grain marketing year started on June 1st of last year. The Philippines bought 111,000 metric tons, Nigeria 110,000 tons, Japan took 102,000 tons, Mexico 80,000 tons, and South Korea was in there for 78,000 tons. Exports for the week totaled 360,900 metric tons, and it was down 8%. Corn sales were reported at 1.4 million metric tons, up 29% from prior week and 84% from the previous four-week average. Japan was the biggest buyer at 563,700 metric tons, followed by Mexico at 266,000 tons and an unnamed country of 102,000 tons. Colombia took 98,400 tons and Guatemala purchased 67,900 tons from the U.S. supplies, according to the USDA. Exports surged 11% week over week to a marketing year high of 1.44 million metric tons. Soybeans were sales were reported at 1.03 million metric tons, and that's up from 53% from the previous week and 77% from the average. China took 540,000 tons, Mexico 345,000 tons, Spain purchased 105,000, the Netherlands was in there for 84,200 tons, and Japan bought 79,000 tons from U.S. inventories. Exports for the week came in at 1.59 million metric tons, and that's still down 12% from the previous week. Well, there's cold weather all over the United States, and looking at what all the forecasters are talking about for next week, get ready. It's coming, starting about Wednesday. But wind chill advisories are still in effect for parts of eastern North Dakota and northern Minnesota this morning, according to the National Weather Service. Values overnight are expected to fall as low as minus 30 degrees, according to the National Weather Service. These advisories are in effect till 8 a.m. Central Time. In northern Iowa, wind chills this morning was ranging from 20 to 30 below. A wind chill advisory is in effect till 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. Extremely dry conditions in central Nebraska, meanwhile, led to a fire weather watch in the area. Winds will be sustained from 10 to 20 miles an hour with gusts up to 30 miles an hour. And the humidity is forecast to only be around 17%. So, anyway, looks like we're going to have a pretty decent day today. So, get out there and get the cows fed. Get things going. My next segment coming up, I'm talking about how things were selling at Woodward yesterday. Elk City Livestock Auction is happening right now, so get on out there and really go up to Brandon or yell at him across the show ring, cell ring or whatever, and say, hey, Jimmy Clark with Today in Ag sent me, and he said you'd give me a free cup of coffee if I yelled that at you. So see what happens. Could be interesting, and he might just give you a free cup of coffee. You never know. But we got, you guys remember tomorrow at Sayre in the parking lot there north of Southbound, there on the south side of downtown there. You can't miss it, the convenience store Southbound. Sticks will have a food truck in there, and that stuff's good. They got Brazilian chicken, they got sirloin steak, everything is served on a stick. You got to go try it. This is the first time she's been in Oklahoma. She's always been out around Amarillo and Canyon and out in there, and I'm excited. She's Rainey's coming to Oklahoma, and then she surprised me yesterday. She sent me a text, and Sunday she's going to be in Sentinel. So you guys over there around Sentinel and Cordell and Burns Flat, all over in that area, and Retrop, whole nine yards in that area. If you get a chance, go try it out. She'll be there from 11 to 7 Sunday in Sentinel. Didn't say where. Sentinel's not that big. She won't be hard to find. Her trailer is yellow, and I'm sure she's got a big four-wheel drive, lifted four-wheel drive she's pulling it with. Anyway, you guys go give it a try. Tell her I sent you. Well, we'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
My background is in AI service. If you're doing that, you're more progressive. You're not going to the sale barn and buying a bull for the cheapest you can get. You're searching for better genetics. You're searching for a better quality product. Just like, do you go down to the used car store and buy the car with all the dents and dings, or do you want the new car we decided we'd start building our own pretty vehicles rather than going paying the price for the pretty vehicle. B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
Are you in the market to buy or sell cattle? Then don't miss Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale's every Wednesday at 9:30 a.m. Buyers can bid in person or online. To consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. That's 580-331-8547. Be sure and check out the market reports and each week's penny news. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Ron Hayes here. Here's what the good folks are saying about SEI Agritech's Livestock Nutrition Center's feed and minerals.
Hello, this is Sean Wyatt. I have a cow-calf operation, and I buy my feed from Kent Watkins at SEI Agritech in Elk City. Kent will provide the best service possible. I highly recommend giving SEI Agritech a call about your feed and minerals.
If you want better feed and better results, visit SEI Agritech in Elk City, your local Livestock Nutrition Center authorized distributor, located on South Randall in Elk City.
Today in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
Wind chills 43. Humidity's 32, winds out of the northwest, 15 to 19 miles an hour. I have you Long Ranger coming up here shortly. Got a couple things to talk to you guys about before we get some of the cattle markets. But the Western Oklahoma Patriots are present Republican candidates for the Oklahoma State Superintendent. It will be a question and answer forum. Ryan Walters and Dr. John Cox will be here February 21st, it's Monday, at 6 o'clock at the Elk City Convention Center here in Elk City. And this event will also be live streamed on Facebook on yours truly, 96.5 KECO. So put that down on your calendar. There's a lot of ruckus been going on the last 3 or 4 years, or actually longer than that, on our school system in the state. So I'm sure there'll be some really good questions asked. But anyway, live cattle prices are up slightly. February's at $138.62. April, $142.52. June's $137.72. Feeder cattle are up also. March, $160.05. April, $165.47. And lean hogs are up as well. February, $87.80. April, $95.35. May, $99.90. So, and then let me bring this up here real quick. All right. At Woodward yesterday, 4,050 head sold compared to last year. They only sold 2,688 head. A little few more calves in this on the ground this year at the sale barn. Let's go through here, just read some of these. Here's some, this one caught my attention. Here's some weight range was on steers, 345. They were thin flesh, but they brought 245. Then there's some unwinged ones in the 489 weight range, brought a little over $2 at 211. Some 468s brought 221. Lighter weight calves are doing really good. Let me see here. Let's pick some five weights. Here we go. 580 weights, 178.50 to 195. They averaged 186.20. Six weights, we're bringing up to 180. Seven weights, it started taking a little bit of hit, and 164 was the tops on it. And the eight range was 158, and the nine range was 149. So that's them on the hunt. Let's check out the heifers. Three weights, looks like 183 was tops. Four weights, 173. Five weights, 154. Six weights, anywhere from 134. There's some about 155. And then on the seven-weight heifers, 136 to 148.75 was the top end on the heifers. Then we had some medium and large bulls. Let's check out what the bulls were bringing. 483-weight bulls, 187. 533 weights was 191. And here's some 600 weights, 174, and some 869 weights, 120. And that was on bulls. So that's what was happening in Woodward. That's what happened in Woodward yesterday. And I don't know. So anyway, everything went good. On the compared to last week, to me, it looks like the feeder steers are a couple bucks lower. Feeder heifers, maybe even quite a bit lower, maybe $5, $6 lower. But steer calves and heifer calves were way up. Some of the steer calves compared, I was looking at it, compared to the last week at Woodward, $10 higher in certain weight classes there. And heifers were about $4 higher. So anyway, looked like everything looking pretty good on the market out there for the lighter weight calves. Go get you some of those. Man, this is not my favorite time of the week when I got to talk about the new drought monitor come out yesterday. But in summary, on January 23rd, according to the United States Department of Agriculture in our area, the Texas Panhandle and Oklahoma, and the Oklahoma Panhandle, the U.S. Department of Agriculture topsoil moisture was rated 81%, very short to short in Oklahoma, and 64% very short to short in Oklahoma and Texas. On this same date, winter wheat was rated 71% very poor to poor in Texas, along with 43% in Oklahoma. Just 3 months ago, in late November of 2021, those numbers stood at 45% and 16% very poor to poor. The worsening drought on the plains also has contributed to several mild winter fires, wildfires, a few including the Mill Creek Fire in Texas, which was ignited on January 15th. It torched more than 1,000 acres of brush. Burn bans were in effect for dozens of counties in Oklahoma and Texas, and I haven't looked at the updated map, see if anything was done this previous Monday. I know Warshtall, Roger Mills, Ellis, and Beckham were the only four counties in western Oklahoma that weren't in the burn ban. And across state line to my friends over there, I think Hemp Hill, there was three big counties over there that wasn't in the burn ban, but the rest of them was. So anyway, I'll check that out Monday for you. But looks like the D4 exceptional drought up there in the panhandle of Oklahoma has been broadened. And the D3 extreme drought in Oklahoma is, it grew a little bit, not much, but it grew some. And this snow we got shouldn't change that, because I think the most I heard was 4 or 5 inches, so you're only talking a half inch of rain, so I don't think that's going to change the drought monitor much, because it did soak in good. I will give you that. Over there in Texas, in whole Texas Panhandle and Oklahoma Panhandle, obviously everything is in the D3 drought. I had a question last week and I have not been able to get a answer to it. Do you guys, where is that question at? If you're going, the question is, if you're going to get a Texas Longhorn, what is the proper age? Which one's better for the demand, a male or female? Age and which would be a higher demand, a male or female? I don't know exactly what you're going to do with it. If you could text me in on that. Are you wanting to just get one for looks? Are you going to feed it and sell it? Or what are you going to do here? So that helped with that answer also. Forgot to mention that. So anyway, appreciate you texting in. I'll try to get that going for you. Oh, raise for a pet. Oh, he's raising it for a pet. So which would be better, a female or male? I'm going to tell you on the male part, steer would be way better. And there's a gentleman down there at Willow's got, I don't know, there's 15 out there. Maybe that many. I don't know if there's that many out there. Just as you drive by there at Willow, he's got some beautiful steers out there. And if you got Mr. Fight, he's got a lot of steers out there. But anyway, maybe somebody will answer us here what might be the best thing for you to raise as a pet. I'm going to say it's pretty good to get a young one. That way you can have a little control of them on the raising. Steer off the cow. That came from the major. There's your answer. The major knows best. So anyway, steer off the cow is what he said. So there's one answer. We'll get some more in here. Hey, I got some next week that come in today. I'm going to be giving you guys shots at winning tickets to the PBR. And I know my listening group likes to go to the PBR. So anyway, I had to think of some crazy questions to ask you guys to see who gets to go to the PBR that you got from Jimmy Clark on Today in Ag. So anyway, next Saturday, week from tomorrow, February 5th, 2022, beginning at 12:15, the Roger Mills County Cattlemen's Association, their 44th annual all-breed bull sale. There's a pretty good lineup on people supplying bulls there. I've been up there a couple times, and they got some good bulls up there. Mollet Angus, Boswell Cattle Company / Golf Pro, Jenkins Angus Farms, Ackerson Farms, Brookshire Farms, Black Hereford Ranch, Mr. Chris Black, Maury White, 5D Cattle, TJ Doral, Jason Brown, the Newman Ranch, Rounds Cattle Company, the Lazy S Ranch, Chris Barton Farms, Paul Keith, Beer Cattle Comp, Blake Holly, Brink Angus, and Merle Farms will all have, they'll have about 65 plus breeding age bulls registered and commercial. I know they'll be getting ready for setting that up all tomorrow. And we got, they're going to have Angus, Semi Angus, Red Angus, Hereford, Black Hereford, and Charlet's up there. So for more information, you can email them at rmccattleman@yahoo.com. They got quite a few officers. Everybody knows pretty much who all the officers are up there. Head honcho is Mrs. Linda Lucas. And get in contact with one of them guys if you got any questions. That'd be a good cattle sale. I'm going to try to go up there myself. Anyway, the before I go to break again, there we go. We're getting you some answers now. Buy winged steers so they can gentle pasture ornaments. There you go. Looks like the vote's two steers, heifer zero. So anyway, we'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, January 21st. 597 head were sold. 8 head of steers at 329 brought 216. 4 at 470 brought 204. 8 at 547 brought 180. 13 at 654 brought 153.50. 14 at 681 brought 145. 4 head of heifers at 475 brought 142. 3 at 533 brought 155. 15 at 555 brought 147. 3 at 613 brought 133. 46 at 726 brought 142. Butcher cows were 34 to 83. Butcher bulls 82 to 91. Bred cows 650 to 1160. Pairs brought 1125 to 1350. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
In this area, a lot of people wean their calves off their cows in the fall. Wheat's planted in the fall, and they buy calves. They take them to the sale barn or maybe private treaty. They run them through the winter on wheat. And some sell in March before they cut their wheat. Some take them through May and graze out their wheat and sell them in May or run them through grass in the summer. I have cattle. The guys I work with, they have cattle. I'm a fourth generational rancher. I'm Monty Carlson, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC. Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
The Day in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
I'm back. 49 degrees. Make sure that's correct. Looks like it. 49. That was supposed to be our high today. Wind chill 43. Winds are still out of the northwest at 14 miles an hour. Gusting up to 19 miles an hour. Well, I wanted to update you guys on a project that our local North Fork Quail Forever chapter is working on. We've teamed up with numerous people to work on a project at Elk Lake. Starting with the City of Elk City and Mr. Tom Ivester, the North Fork of the Red River Conservation District over at Sayre that heads out, that does all the conservation stuff in our, not just Beckham County, it covers Roger Mills County too. They're teaming up with us to do this. And, of course, our Quail Forever chapter here. And then we got some people like, and then the Oklahoma Wildlife Department is advising us on it. But we got, it's going forward, and it's going forward really well because of some certain people. ConocoPhillips and GR Wireline out of Weatherford. But ConocoPhillips here in Elk City has teamed up with our Quail Forever chapter to help us. On the west side of the lake, if you guys are familiar with the lake over here, there's big peninsulas that get tore up when it rains, and people go out there and drive all over it, and their motorcycles and four-wheel drives and ATVs and whatever have you, and just keep it muddy and keep it crappy looking. Well, we've come up with enough help, especially from ConocoPhillips and GR Wireline. We're going to start a project out there here in the near future where we're going to start cabling off some of those peninsulas where people can't drive it in there. And then our Quail Forever chapter with the North Fork of the Red River Conservation District and the Oklahoma Wildlife Department, we're going to go in there and reseed it and put it back to native habitat. So it looks gorgeous out there. And plus it'll help keep from when it rains heavy, washing a lot of that red mud off into the lake and stuff. So it's going to be really good, and it's going to help wildlife and just be gorgeous around there. We're going to put some pollinators out there for the monarch butterfly, so hopefully it'll attract them. It's just going good. And the Elk City Fire Department is probably going to help us next month if we'll get some moisture, but we're going to do some burn-offs out there and get rid of some of that heavy stuff already and let it grow back to nature. So anyway, big thank you to ConocoPhillips and GR Wireline for that's who's helping us so far. If we got some more people on the way, that's going to help us. So I'm excited about that. I know our city manager, Mr. Ivester, is excited about it. City Park's excited about it. And some gentlemen that are in charge of that bike trail around the lake, they're excited about it. So anyway, I guess we're all excited about it. How's that? It's just exciting to hear all this good stuff. Well, anyway, I thought this was a pretty cool story. Some of you probably heard about it, but you know, there's always something crazy going on, whether it be Colorado or California. You know, California's a lot of crazy people out there. Don't get me wrong. I have friends that live out there. They're not crazy. They probably wish they weren't there. But anyway, Ellen Kessler has resigned, and I think it's great. Whoever the heck put her on the State Board of Veterinary Medicine in Colorado should have their brain checked. Anyway, I think it was the governor, by the way. But animals rights activist Ellen Kessler, a gubernatorial appointee to the State Board of Veterinary Medicine, submitted her resignation earlier this week. In her letter, released by the governor's office, she said the resignation would be effective as close of business of February 11th. She ought to just be fired and be done with. I realized that some of my actions have caused anger and discomfort, and that I was unprofessional in my judgment. I apologize to you and the citizens of our great state and wish you best of luck as you continue to make Colorado the best in the nation. Well, she was appointed in 2020 to the state vet board, and she got hammered by farmers and ranchers in Colorado, and she got hammered by a lot of people outside of Colorado, but on what they view as the farmers and ranchers is what they view as an inflammatory attack on the livestock industry. Okay, I'm sorry you put an animals rights activist on a vet board. What they think they were going to get? But anyway, she's a friend of First Gentleman Marlon Reese, Governor Jared Polis's husband. He's also an animals rights activist. Well, anyway, let me get back down here. What did she say? She's referring to the recent attacks by wolves. She referred to attacks by wolves on cattle and dogs in northern Colorado. She accused the ranchers of using their cows to bait wolves in order to receive compensation for the loss of their animals. These techniques could easily translate into being an activist in Colorado for soon-to-be-introduced wolves and other predators already living amongst us, Kessler wrote. Would our lazy and nasty ranchers, cattlemen, even raise a finger to make something like this work, using a cow to bait the wolves for their solution? A living cow doesn't make money for them. Only dead cows does. If the slaughterhouse doesn't pay them for the carcass, they'll blame it on the predator, so the state will pay them back for the livestock loss from predators. What a racket. What a scam. Well, that comment didn't go unnoticed. So anyway, man, there's some crazy people in this world. Anyway, I had to read that story. I mean, they got all kinds of craziness going on in our world. Well, anyway, the Kansas City Federal Reserve releases various reports each year on ag banking trends. This is the latest report that they released, and here's some of the interesting trends from this report. This all has to do with agriculture. The average number of loans to farmers went down by 30% in 2020, while the size of the loan actually went up by 30%. But however, in 2021, the number of loans went up by 10%, but the size of loans went down about 25%. This is likely due to the amount of stimulus provided by Congress to the ag sector, plus good crop realization for 2020 that was mostly sold in 2021. Total loan volume has dropped about $100 billion to around $70 billion over the last year. In the fourth quarter of 2021, small farmers increased the number of loans by 35%, but large farms dropped their volume by 5%, and both sets of farmers showed much lower size of loans. On the operating and equipment side, the only material increase in total loan volume was equipment financing. This is very understandable with the large increase in equipment costs. None of these trends are surprising. It is likely this trend will continue into 2022, but if interest rates begin to rise, the trend is likely to slow down. So anyway, we'll see how that's going. So I just want to update you guys on what's happening in the financial part of the farm and ranch industry. Well, just when you think fertilizer shortages are improving, because I did hear that dry fertilizer had been, this morning was coming down, trucker vaccine mandate slammed the supply chain. You guys been watching that deal where all those truckers are up there on the Canadian border. So anyway, it's going to get crazy. Fertilizer availability concerns have plagued agriculture for months, but recent COVID-19 vaccine mandates in both the United States and the Canada could take even more truckers off the road. As the supply chain is already wading through chaos and shortages of everything from food products to equipment parts, more fertilizer shortages could be coming just right before spring, because next month, if we get rain, next month's that time of the month where you start top dressing your spring crops. But man, we don't get any more moisture than what they're talking about. I don't know what people are going to do. I really don't. Tough year for ag industry. I see coming. It's my personal opinion. Trucking industry experts warn, while empty store shelves are being advertised as a product of those recent vaccine mandates, the issue will snowball into much more. The concerns derive from a recent vaccine mandate requiring truckers to be vaccinated before crossing the border. Truckers were previously exempt from federal travel restrictions. This new mandate for these truckers went into effect at January 15th in Canada and just the other day for the people in the United States. The Canadian Trucking Alliance estimates the mandate may block up to 20% of the 160,000 Canadian-American cross-border truckers from entering either Canada or the United States. In Canada, a convoy of truckers took to the road across Canada this week to protest the cross-border vaccine mandates. The protests started in Vancouver over the weekend and expected to reach Ottawa tomorrow. I worked for 2 years to bring goods and service and toilet paper and everything to everyone. We went through this having no showers, no bathrooms, no food. We starved sometimes for days on the end of the road, and nobody cared about us then. And now all of a sudden they care. Convoy trucker Bridget Belton, who owns and operates her own rig, running food products and containers between the United States and Canada, told CBC News. And as the effects of the driver shortages are starting, Kelly Kropt is the safety director for the True North American Compliance Services in West Fargo, North Dakota, a company that helps trucking companies and drivers navigate rules and regulations on the road. She says, we haven't seen the full extent of the impact considering the mandate for drivers to the U.S. only went into effect Saturday. I've been told from some chatter and some of my customers is a lot of their fertilizer comes from Canada. About 50% of Canada's fertilizer is exported into the United States. So if an unvaccinated driver is not allowed to go to Canada to pull the fertilizer out, we're going to have some issues, she said. And vice versa, even if a Canadian driver that's going to pull some fertilizer down in the United States isn't vaccinated, they're not going to allow it. So it's just... Man, it's just getting ugly. Well, when I come back, I'm going to have your long ranger forecast coming up. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. First sale last Tuesday, January the 25th, we sold 544 cows, bulls, and kids. Thursday, January 27th, we sold 4,050 kids and feeders for a total of 4,594 cattle for the week. Slaughter cows and bulls, 6 to 8 higher, I'd say, spot 10 to 12 higher. Tuesday, better killing cows, 70 up to 87. Thin cows bring 55 to 70, 50. Bulls bring 70 up to 102, 50. Two-day year-old-bred cows, 900 up to 1,200, with our 9 and older bred cows, 925. Five-day year-old pairs, 1,250, 1,325. Steer cattle, 3 to 350 steers, 206 to 245. 4 to 450, 207 to 226. 5 to 550, 193 to 209, 6 to 650, 164 to 180.50, 7 to 750, 148 to 164, 8 to 850, 145.50 to 155 and a quarter, 9 to 950, 140 to 153, and 24 steers weighing 1069 bring 135. Under heifers, 6 heifers weighing 285 bring 189, 3 to 350, 170 to 183, 4 to 450, 162 to 173, 5 to 550, 153 to 170, 6 to 650, 148 to 155 and a half, 7 to 750, 136 to 148, 8 to 850, 135 to 143, and our 9 to 950 heifers, 132 to 135. Very good market. We have 14 feeder buyers every week. Lots of farmers and ranchers buying kids too. We work 100% for the seller. Never lying to the buyer. I put a price on the cattle. We move forward. Very good market. Sending lots of our cattle north. For this Tuesday, February the 2nd, we will have 35 bred cows. We've got 25 other bred cows and pairs. More by sale time. We'll see you this Tuesday, 8 a.m. sharp, Thanksgiving Jerry 9 and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
When we're all on the same page, things run smoother, work gets completed faster, life is easier. And that's exactly what advanced technology from Valley does. IconX brings all of your pivots together into one manageable network with full remote capabilities, regardless of the brand. Get the most out of your pivots at a fraction of the cost of a full panel upgrade. Valley IconX. Any brand of pivot, one connected network. Smart irrigation. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325 or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden. Complete nutrition for every animal, that's what you'll find in Hi-Pro Feeds. At Hi-Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local Hi-Pro Feeds dealer. Providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks, see their ad in the Penny News and check them out on Facebook. See all they have to offer at HobartFarmAndGarden.com. That's HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
I'm back. Let me close this real quick. If it'll close. There we go. I got her closed. You guys remember that we didn't have computers when I was growing up, so... be cool with me. Well, the major from Cooperton, he said, what did he say? Here we go. There we go. He said, Colorado equals California wannabe in training. That's pretty funny. Anyway, so long range of forecast. Let me make sure this is right. Yep, it's right. It hadn't changed. This afternoon, sunny with a near high 52. With northwest wind 11 to 15 miles an hour with gusts up as high as 23. Tonight clear around 26 for overnight low. Tomorrow's just beautiful. That's all I got to tell you. 66 to 70 around here. Winds will be basically nothing out of the west. But looks like they changed that a little bit. We might have some wind gusts tomorrow, but it's still going to be warm. Saturday night low around 26. Sunday high near 60 with northwest winds 5 to 8 miles an hour. And then switching now to southeast in the afternoon. So another beautiful day. Sunday night, low around 34. First night in a long time we haven't been below freezing. Monday, 63. Tuesday, 55. Tuesday night, a slight chance of rain or snow showers after midnight. Low around 23, 20% chance of rain. Wednesday, different world we have. Chance of rain and snow showers, mostly cloudy, high near 37. Chance of precipitation is 30. Wednesday night, 20% chance of snow showers, and then it gets cool, 11 miles an hour. Thursday, not going to get above freezing, so that's what's coming up. Well, Monday, I have a very special person that I've been wanting on here for a long time, and he's finally coming. Mr. Jim Davis of Davis Angus is a cattle company. He's over there between, I call it the Wichita Triangle. It's between Foss, Burns Flat, and Cordell. And so I call it the triangle over there. So anyway, he's up there north of Burns Flat and east a little bit. He's going to be on here. We're going to be talking about some cattle, what he thinks is going on in the world of the Angus, Black Angus cattle. And also, they got a sale coming up next month, and so we'll talk a little bit about that. I look forward to seeing him. I hadn't seen him in a while. His daughter Jordan was on our show a couple months ago with her husband. They're out of Cordell, so anyway, they're good people. Tuesday, Lacey will be back, and we're not sure whether it be Wednesday or Thursday, but I will have a climatologist on here from the OU University and from the Mesonet. So anyway, don't want to miss that either. So, well, let's go with this right here. Well, this is a report put out from the pork industry. Although the White House is blaming big meat packers for driving up food prices, the real culprits are higher costs and labor shortages all along the supply chain, according to the pork industry report on Wednesday. Four packers control 65% of the hog slaughter in the United States, but the industry is less concentrated than it was 5 years ago. Pork prices soared 15% in 2021, twice the overall U.S. inflation rate. President Biden says more competition in the highly consolidated meat industry will bring down the prices at the grocery store. It's too many in too many industries, a handful of giant companies dominate the entire market, according to the big man. Then as we see it in big ag, big tech, and big pharma, Biden had a meeting at his competition council earlier this week. But the pork industry is less concentrated than some other sectors of the food industry, including breakfast, cereals, beet sugar, bottled water, said the three economists that wrote this report. Retail pork prices have increased rapidly due to the strong demand for U.S. pork, as well as added costs and labor shortages. I've been saying this ever since everybody started griping about the big four beef guys. They don't have a clue what's going on. You know, all you see is prices and numbers, and you don't sit down and think about, and I'm not taking up for the Packers. Do not get me wrong. I'm just giving you something that with this COVID crap, and they started testing all these people, whether they were sick or not sick, these Packers, everybody, these stores around here, it doesn't matter whether it's a grocery store or just a normal retail store, sending people home. Well, when you got 5,000 people working in one packing plant and you're trying to butcher so many head a day, things just happen. And your electricity bill's the same no matter whether you got 1,000 workers there or 5,000 workers there. But then these guys wanting to come back was going, hey, more dineros, you know, let's get it going, you know. Instead of working for $25 an hour, they want it $40 an hour. This COVID is just, I've lost some friends and family because of the COVID. I've had the COVID, and I'm not downplaying the COVID. But what I'm saying is some people are taking it, the word COVID, to extreme. But anyway, these Packers operate at this meeting point between those price spreads. In recent months, farm and wholesale prices have fallen sharply while retail prices remain elevated. If Packers were exercising market power to capture greater profits, one would expect the farm to wholesale price spread to grow and the wholesale to retail price spread to shrink. Instead, the opposite has occurred. In the past 6 months, the farm to wholesale spread declined 15%, while the wholesale to retail spread was up more than 35% over the same period due to added retailer costs and potentially lagged response to high wholesale prices this summer. An economist not involved in the report said the widening of the wholesale to retail price spread suggests supply chain issues and labor costs. There you go. That's what's happening. Persistently high meat prices were the leading factor in the food inflation of 63% in 2021. The White House, in a blog last month, said meat prices were an example of dominant corporations in uncompetitive markets taking advantage of their market power to raise prices while increasing their own profit margins. Four large companies account for the bulk of cattle, hog, and poultry slaughter in the country, and leading the processors have reported huge earnings and increases for 2021, said the blog, written by Brian Deese and two assistants of the National Economic Council. Tyson Foods reported net income was $3 billion in 2021. That's a 47% increase from 2020. Higher meat prices have not dented the U.S. meat consumption per capita. Consumption of red meat and poultry was a record 225.3 pounds per person. That's 9.8 ounces a day in 2020. The first year of the pandemic, up nearly a pound from 224.4 pounds in 2019, according to the USDA data. Consumption dipped slightly in 2021 to 223.8 pounds per person and is forecast to be at 222.5 this year. The previous record for per capita meat consumption was 220.2 pounds in 2004. So there you go. just retail, everybody's pointing the fingers at everybody, but man, just sit back and look at it. You could think of it. You're trying to keep up with slaughter out of four major plants, and there's a lot of mid-sized plants out there, but four is trying to keep up, and they're short. Their labor's not even at 50%, maybe up to 60%. I haven't checked in a few weeks, but I'm sure their labor price is coming up. But another thing is you can't get anybody to work. There's help wanted signs everywhere. I've seen some deals where working at McDonald's is $18 an hour and they can't hire anybody. And just think what that's doing for farm labor. I'm not going to come out there and get dirty and work my butt off for you on the farm when I can just go here and work for $18, $20 an hour. Are you going to match that pay? Then I might come out there. So it's a crazy world we're living in. But, well, Monday, Jim Davis will be here. And we'll just go have a good talk with him. You guys have a really good weekend. It's going to be beautiful. Get out and enjoy it. I know I'm going to meet up with some farmers and ranchers and some other people over at Sayre tomorrow at the golf course around 12:30 or so, because we're going to have our scramble. I think my boss is even coming over tomorrow, so we're going to have a good scramble. And Megan and Don, bartenders over there, they're going to be having us a free brunch over there after the tournament. So if you get bored and you want to do something, come on over tomorrow. Well, you guys have a great weekend. God bless. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Number one on my preset buttons in my car.
They always give away cool stuff.
Oh, I love it.
It's the best.
One of the coolest stations in the world.
I love.
We love.